Dave Fleming, I need to ask you about the very first line of your piece right here, because it goes like this. There were no skulls available, so Trevor Lawrence grabbed a grapefruit instead. Dave, I have so many questions, namely who, what, when, where, why, and how. Like, why is the number one pick in this year's NFL draft choosing amongst fruit as a substitute for human skulls?
He was posing as a monk for one of his older brother's paintings. And when the brothers realized that they didn't have a skull available, Trevor improvised and grabbed a grapefruit instead. I mean, the reason why he's one of the best draft prospects in the last four decades is he's a creative thinker and can think quickly on his feet.
So wait, why is Trevor Lawrence a reference model for a painting in the first place?
I mean, anybody who has an older brother, if your older brother asks you to pose as a monk in a creepy painting inside your parents' kitchen, if you're a little brother, you say, sure, I'll do that.
Sports is often a family affair, but a superstar's non-athlete sibling doesn't usually make news. Not the good kind, at least. Unless you're Chase Lawrence. The offbeat older brother of the number one player in this week's NFL draft is an artist worth knowing, an accomplished prospect in his own right, and the single biggest influence on how Trevor Lawrence sees the world.
Lawrence winds up, fires, he's got a man at the 35. Oh, nothing but taillights. Touchdown, a bullet from Trevor Lawrence.
I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, April 27th. This is ESPN Daily.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Dave, this is a piece that fundamentally then is about Chase Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence's brother.
Yes, absolutely.
Dave Fleming is a senior writer at ESPN and host of the podcast In Time Out with his daughter, Allie. He actually left the house safely to report on the Lawrence brothers.
I think it's interesting to note, and at a time when we're looking for any kind of insight into NFL draft prospects, that ever since Trevor had become a can't-miss NFL quarterback prospect, the biggest influence and impact on his life has been his older brother, Chase.
Dave, I want to get into Chase's brain, his soul, in a second here, but first we just got to describe what this guy looks like, man, because I first saw him at that Heisman Trophy ceremony. How would you describe, for those who haven't had that privilege, what Chase Lawrence looked like?
Well, absolute perfection from my perspective. His parents asked him if he was going to attend the Heisman Trophy ceremony at Clemson with his brother to put on something nice for the national audience. And in Chase's world, that meant a perfect, sort of very chic, tan, almost leisure suit with a green floral silk shirt underneath it, basically unbuttoned almost to the navel.
Yes.
Along with his hair, his long...
Oh, his hair.
Yes, the trademark sort of Lawrence family incredible mane up in a bun. And then really the piece de resistance, the white carnation lapel pin. He's an icon and a hero to all of us who have no fashion sense whatsoever.
Dave, I don't know if you got a look at his wardrobe when you met him in person, but you met Chase Lawrence on your reporting trip. You got to see his studio. You met him at his home in Wilmington, South Carolina. And at the time, Chase was just moving into this new house with his wife, Brooke, who is also an artist. They work on their art projects together. What was it like to spend time with Chase?
Okay, first of all, so I get fully vaccinated and Chase Lawrence, the artist, is the first in-person interview that I got to do in 13 months. And it's sort of like exactly what you would think, right? Their house is still, it's this great old house that used to be owned by a local doctor. And so it's got all these really interesting sort of nooks and crannies and things out back. And they don't really have anything moved in yet except all their painting and their easels. And we just sat on the front porch as the traffic went by and the birds are chirping and just basically literally covered every topic under the sun.
So like philosophically and just value-wise, I think we have a lot in common. And that's just because we're brothers and we were raised by the same parents, even though we're like a lot different from them in so many ways. It's not like we recycle like everything they taught us.
Yeah, what do you guys bounce around between? Because I imagine the spectrum of topic is expansive.
Oh, it was fantastic. I think I wrote in the story, at one point we bounced from Atari to Monet to religious dogma to atheism to drugs in college to the flowers that were off the porch, and then finally Chuck E. Cheese.
How does Chuck E. Cheese come up?
Apparently Chuck E. Cheese, Chase knows somebody who knows somebody who is involved in developing new versions of Chuck E. Cheese that are way more interactive and like with holograms and stuff like that. So, of course, we covered that.
I am far more ready to grapple with religious dogma than I am with hologram Chuck E. Cheese.
During college, he sort of dabbled in some psychedelic drugs and questioned his faith. And when he told me that, I responded, well, who didn't? In college, right? Actually, his college experience, if you think about it, was far more typical and normal than Trevor Lawrence's experience, where he was already anointed the savior of a couple of billion-dollar franchises and couldn't go out and eat in public without a disguise on. So if you ask me, you know, Chase is the normal one in this scenario.
So take me back, Dave, to the Lawrence household as Chase and Trevor were growing up. Who was in there? What was that dynamic like?
Both of their parents, Amanda and Jeremy, were successful high-level athletes in high school. And I think Jeremy could have even played college hoops if he had wanted to, right? And so they're way into sports. And so they have their first child and he becomes old enough to sort of get involved in youth sports. And just imagine, I mean, it's like a sitcom. Chase just had no desire to do anything in sports. When they signed him up for T-ball, he would draw in the dirt, right? And he was constantly going to the wrong dugout after innings. And they finally, when Chase was on a basketball team that was actually pretty good, he started laying down on the bench and actually falling fully asleep during basketball games. And that's when the parents, God love them, turned to each other and just went, okay, you're not an athlete. We're cool with that. Just do your thing.
I respect knowing what you are at that age so unapologetically, Dave. Yeah. But Trevor, in contrast, I mean, how different was Trevor Lawrence growing up?
Oh my God. I mean, Chase even says this in the story that by the time he was even in middle school, they knew that he was going to get a full ride somewhere for either basketball, baseball, or football. I mean, he was just a prodigy in every sense of the word. And again, that to me is one of the best parts of this story is that you would think these two brothers, right? Chase is now in high school. His little brother is getting all this attention for being a prodigy as a quarterback. But instead of being resentful or isolated, you know, the parents figured out a way to sort of let Chase develop as an artist and Trevor develop as an athlete without the two of them sort of competing for love and attention. It's kind of a beautiful story about this great family.
But the idea, Dave, of Chase as this artist who wants to be an artist instead of an athlete. How do his parents react when it becomes clear that this is the path that he wants to take?
I mean, for me, they react in a way that gives you really good insight into this family. Because the first question you get is, okay, how? What's their secret? How do you raise an artist and an athlete who are both great at what they do? And the answer is, you know, when Trevor was becoming famous as a prospect, as a teenager, a teenage quarterback, and Chase is trying to figure out what he can do as an artist, and probably at an age where he's about to become resentful and sort of angry about all the attention his little brother's getting, Jeremy Lawrence, he goes to Chase and he says, look, I know that there's an artist in downtown Atlanta that you love and is kind of an idol of yours. Let's go. I'm going to take you down there to meet him.
Who is the artist that Chase really wants to go meet?
His name is Alex Pardee. And it's really the guy, I describe him as the guy who, for Chase, it's like Chase's Tom Brady. It's the guy who, when Chase saw his art, which is sort of like this kind of pop surrealism of like really colorful and creepy sort of monsters and creatures. When Chase saw him, he was like, okay, wait a second. I could see myself being an artist like that. Alex Pardee immediately asked Chase if he could see some of his drawings. And then they agreed to trade drawings. And Alex Pardee signed his and gave it to Chase. And Chase signed his and gave it to him. And he stuck around and answered all his questions. And Chase, to this day, right, it's been 10 years, is like, Alex Pardee is the reason I became an artist. He's my idol.
So Chase Lawrence, the artist now in 2021, what kind of work does he do? Who does he work with? How would you explain his business now?
Oh boy, how much time we got? I mean, this is what makes him such a great artist, is he's very hard to define. But the distinct thing about Chase is he paints as one artist with his wife, Brooke. Each one takes a turn at the canvas and then sort of critiques and finishes and touches up the other one's work. It's really kind of an incredible thing. And it gives them a very distinct style, which is, I think Chase described it as impressionistic realism. Think sort of like darker, more theologically themed, Baroque, Renaissance oil paintings. Very distinct and very sort of a certain sort of au revoir.
All right, Dave, after the break, I want to get into yet another exciting business opportunity for the Lawrence family.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So Dave, as the NFL draft is almost upon us, Chase and Trevor Lawrence, they're teaming up on something, and I need you to explain what exactly that something is.
Well, it's the perfect opportunity for them to sort of merge their two worlds. And it's really a unique project where Chase and Brooke are creating 20 unique artistic cards that will go in the 50 card football card top set that's released when Trevor is drafted in the NFL.
I mean, this is not something I've ever heard of before, Dave. I'm pretty sure the idea that an athlete, a pro athlete, would just go and make a deal directly with a trading card company personally to make their own customized set of cards as created by his own family. And now I am seeing that today there is like this NFT non-fungible token aspect of it where like digital images of these cards are going to be available for 24 hours starting today. Like, is there a precedent for any of this?
No, I think it's I think it must be the very first time this has ever happened, especially for an NFL rookie. And again, it gives you some insight into Trevor sort of, demanding more agency and control over his image, over his trading cards, over who he's going to work with. I mean, it's very symbolic of what I think his entire NFL career is going to be like. He's going to team up with people he trusts, like his brother, and create something cool and unique and one of a kind.
So this then demands like a set of artistic decisions. I mean, Chase and Brooke, this husband and wife pair of artists, they have to go depict Trevor Lawrence, Chase's younger brother, in a way that I assume is not just commercially viable, but also satisfactory to Trevor. How does that process get started?
What they ended up doing was literally right after Clemson lost in the national semifinal, they go and hang out and they got to look at old football cards. They got to look at like band posters for concerts. They got to look at different comic books. They got to get Trevor to pose for pictures and videos that might inspire them. And they all sort of together came up with a color scheme and some themes and different tones and just ideas that satisfied all three of them, right? That was cool enough for the artists, but also kind of like mainstream enough for Trevor to agree to. But it sounds like the big brother really got his way in this project.
Well, I was going to say, I mostly just want the Chase Lawrence cut. I want that version. I want the maximum psychedelic weirdness. How close did he get to that in what they made?
Yeah. Well, you're going to be very happy then based on my reporting and some of the sneak peeks I got at the cards. They are amazing. Some of them do look like Trevor Lawrence in a Jimi Hendrix concert poster, or one of them looked like Trevor Lawrence, something that reminded me of a Prince album cover. And then there's also stuff that's highly influenced by comic books and graphic novels, especially The Watchmen.
Ooh, I love that. But they're also, I imagine, like there's some amount of back and forth here, right? I mean, were Chase and Brooke, were they concerned that maybe they were getting too weird for Trevor, who is, as you've established now, not quite as out there as Chase's?
Yeah, and I think that what happened was, as they went along, Chase kept pushing him out of his comfort zone.
He was like real particular about certain things, and I was just like, oh my gosh, Brooke is gonna kill you. Myself, or just gonna have to change it. And he ended up, once he saw all of them finished, he was like, dang, I love these. He just like killed it.
One of my favorites, and I think Brooke's favorite too, is it's Trevor and he's kind of surrounded. It's almost like he's in this field of flowers. Have you ever seen a number one draft pick quarterback be willing to sort of like take a little bit of a risk like that? Mm. And it's super cool. And it looks like a very like complicated, intense oil painting.
And that artistic process between Brooke and Chase, how did they handle it? How did they decide how to share responsibilities on that front?
At first, they were a bit overwhelmed, right? Because you're talking about essentially 20 digital portraits in basically 6 weeks, 6 or 8 weeks. And they were overwhelmed at first, but the first three cards that they came up with, they sent them to Topps and they sent them to Trevor, and everybody freaked out because they were so good and they loved them so much that they just kind of left them alone to complete the set.
And we are in the time of year, Dave, where NFL teams are looking under every rock. They're asking every family member. They're trying to get inside the brain of someone like Trevor Lawrence. I was pretty staggered, honestly, by this news cycle that emerged after he gave some quotes to Sports Illustrated last week, because he said stuff like, quote, "It's not like I need football for my life to be okay." And he talked about how he wants people to know that I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but he doesn't have this huge chip on his shoulder.
How much do you love football? Do you love this game to the point where you would cut your finger off like Ronnie Lott to play?
You're going to learn, Trevor. You're going to learn to get a chip because you are about to be doubted.
What was your response to seeing how those quotes seem to explode into the sports media universe?
Oh, God, it's another example of the reason why the NFL can't develop more than 20 franchise quarterbacks at a time is because of this kind of like antiquated, idiotic, oversimplified thinking that they would freak out that somebody expressed a normal, healthy approach to how they define success. I mean, that's exactly why they're so bad at drafting the most important position in sports.
Yeah, it seems like they want to self-select for maniacs, like people who are unhinged and totally obsessive, like in the vein of, like, everybody seems to want to recreate Michael Jordan, never wondering if Michael Jordan needed to be unhinged and competitive in that way in order to be anywhere near as good as he was, let alone the fact that other people may just be wired differently.
Yeah. I mean, you know, can you get a little creative? There might be more than one way, actually, to be a leader. And here's a guy who literally is the best quarterback prospect in four decades. But the fact that he won't watch film 24/7 or obsess over a single loss disqualifies him to be a franchise quarterback. In any other world or any other business, if you have to work 24 hours a day to be good at what you do or complete your tasks, it means you suck at your job. But in the NFL, that's what they want. It's in the NFL. That's that, you know, if you can find a way to study film for 10 hours instead of 6 hours, it means you're a much better and you're committed and love your sport. It's just stupid.
What do you think a reasonable scout might see in Trevor Lawrence after learning about his family dynamic in the way that you have, in a way that might actually come to matter for his NFL career?
You know what rookie franchise quarterbacks need more than anything is thick skin, people who will actually tell them the truth and keep their lives in perspective, and sort of a, I don't give an F about what the haters and the outsiders think. And guess what? Trevor has that and gets that every day from Chase. The fact that he has this cool older brother who's pushing him and challenging him on everything he thinks, a guy who would wear that outfit to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, he does not care what the outside world thinks about him or his family. And I got to tell you, it only makes Trevor Lawrence seem more likely to be a success.
He's also just such a, like, leader type of person. And I wouldn't say that I am, but everyone else does. So I guess that we have that kind of in common. Like, we don't really ever care what other people think.
So, Dave, as you were figuring out how you were going to end the first interview in person that you've had in over a year, thanks to the pandemic, with this interview subject that you, I assume, did not want to stop talking to, where did you end up landing?
He finally, as he was getting rid of me, the last thing I mentioned to him was, and I had been imagining this scenario where, to me, right, if the world makes sense, at the future sometime, Chase and Brooke will be at a gallery in New York showing their art, and Trevor will have flown in after a playoff game. And in this world, in a perfect world, Chase and Brooke are the famous ones, and nobody at the art gallery actually knows who Trevor is, and they're constantly asking him what he does for a living. Of all the things that we covered on this epic interview, this was the one thing that got Chase's biggest response. He just laughed and roared with laughter as we walked off the porch. And he was like imagining this scene where he's the famous one and nobody knows who Trevor is. He was just like, oh, man, Trevor would love that scenario. And if you understand that, you understand Trevor.
Dave Fleming, thank you for bringing me onto the porch with you and Chase Lawrence.
My pleasure, as always.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.